I'm sorry that these notes are a little. There's a part that's missing, which is the questions for discussion, which is no big loss, but so actually there's a part that I for some reason didn't get through, and today what we want to do is to do some practice, and so there may not be as much teaching as we've been having for the past few weeks, but I thought it's what we want is the practice of keeping pace with God, right?
Yes.
What we want to do is to keep pace with God. We don't want to learn about keeping pace with God only, but we want to keep pace with God itself. Yeah. We want to be practitioners rather than just theoreticians. And so why don't we just go ahead and just lift up our hearts before the Lord and invite His presence. We come now with our hearts so much having a tendency to lurch out into the future, sometimes to sort of meander back into the past, but we want to invite us to just stay present to God. There is only one moment that is real, and that is the present moment. And as we lift up our heart before God, we worship the Lord, we pour out our heart to Him and give Him all the glory, give Him all the praise and all His majesty. Bless your name, Lord. Just imagine that there's only now, this moment before us and God. Don't think about the future. Don't think about what good is going to, praise is going to do, or what is going to happen after this session. Just stay in this present moment. Bless your name. Glory to your name. Praise Him. You just praise Him like there's no next moment. Like there's no tomorrow. There's only now. Every other time is does not exist. Praise your name, O Lord. Glory to your name. With our whole soul we praise you, Lord. With our whole mind we praise you. With our whole strength we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is with us to help us, assist us to proclaim the glories of our God and King. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. You are mighty in this place right now. You are able to outdistance our own weaknesses, Lord. Overshadow our own tragedies as well.
Yes.
You know. Our disappointments, Lord. You are infinite in glory and goodness, Lord. Come, O Lord. We need some of that.
Yes.
We need some of that to counterbalance all our deficits right now.
Yes.
And we praise you. We give you all the glory, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. Abba Father, Abba Father, you are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Let's sing it again. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise you in this moment.
Yes.
We don't know about the next moment, but right now, all of us, all of our being, Lord, praises you now, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Singing, I love you, Lord. 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 I love you. Singing, I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Just give it to him. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We just give him all of ourselves right now. Just give it all to him. If your mind gets distracted, doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Just bring it back to the present. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to your name. Jesus, Lord. Jesus, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. We welcome you to take control. We ask you that you teach us how to stay in the moment with you. And we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. How are you tonight? Good, I'm good. Do you have your sheet with you? I thought one of the things we've been looking at has to do with keeping pace with God, right? And we talk about two aspects of that. One is the trajectory of the pace that we're moving forward in our life, yeah? And we spoke about the fact that there is a difference between time that is in terms of events, yeah? In terms of causation, in terms of we want to do things so that this effect will happen. So we try to move time things forward, we think to try to move our life forward by doing these special things or these killer things, and that moving forward is a result of these things that we do that have and that create an event. And then we talk about the other aspect in which the Holy Spirit seems to move, especially in terms of sowing and reaping, and in that sowing, God gives us seeds, and when we sow in hope, we sow in faith, and what God does is a secret work. So we spoke about that trajectory of moving forward. And there's another aspect of keeping pace with God that has to do with our rhythm, not just how we're moving forward, but how our heart can be stilled before God so that God can actually touch the clock in our heart that is going at a pace that, because of the fall, is not in sync with Him. Yeah. And so a lot we've spoken about chariot time. We talk about how our time, the clock in our heart, is driven by insecurities, our fears, our deficits, our anticipations, our apprehensions, our anticipations of things going wrong, or things, for some of us, the clock on our heart is determined by things that have happened in the past. For a lot of people in this age, we tend to move faster, and we are always impatient with God. Yeah, we're impatient with people. We can never stay in the moment. Relationally, we are constantly frantic in terms of trying to grab hold of people, or to hold people close to us. That insecurity drives our frenetic kind of relationships as well. For some of us, we are impatient to be able to move forward. And so we find that impatience often marks the character of our rhythm in life. For some people, it's the opposite. Because of fears and depression and disappointment and discouragement, we actually procrastinate. It's hard for us to move forward. For some of us, making a decision, a simple decision, is very hard because there are so many factors that we bring into, so many things that we fear can go wrong. And so we have a way of slowing down our pace. And I gave the analogy of a plane. If you see a plane that's at short distance, it is just going past us. It just zooms past us it's like a blur, and we can't really catch what was going on there. But if, say, you could actually go in the same pace, in the same speed as a plane, what will happen is that you can actually see what is on the plane. You can actually see the details of what's in the plane, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a plane or a car. A lot of times, hearing from God is a matter of that. God is moving at a certain pace, and God is always moving. God is not just an unmoved first mover. He is moving. What the fall did was that it made our clock, driven not by God, but by our own insecurities, by external things, our own, what Leanne Payne calls the bentness towards people. We are attached to the world. We are stuck on people and stuck on other people's reactions and pace, their pace. So much so that we are dragged. So when God is moving at a pace that is magisterial, that is perfect, we find it very hard to keep in sync with God because of the fact that our pace is different. Yeah. And so we mentioned, I think last week, that hearing from God often and having a vision of God is often not an issue of how hard we listen or how hard we look, but what pace we are moving at. Does that make sense? I shared with you, when I was a schoolboy living in London, I always had to take the bus, right, to school. And the whole thing about these buses was that we would be at the bus stop and there would be a long queue, or as you say in America, a long line. And the buses would come, and for schoolboys, they don't really wait. And so you have to sort of jump on, and so you have to be running after the bus at a certain pace. Does that make sense? If you run too fast, you actually miss it. And I had a friend one time, the bus has this long pole, and somehow you have to get onto the platform and catch the pole, you know? And so my friend was a fast runner, and he ran faster than the bus, and he missed the pole. And when he missed the bus, he actually fell off. And sometimes people are just not fast enough. So being able to catch the pole and be able to see the pole, you actually have to be running at the same pace as the bus. Does that make sense? So that you can catch the pole. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times, we are in our life, whether it's listening to God or catching an opportunity with God, we are in the business of letting the Holy Spirit change our internal clock so that we can be moving at pace with God. Does that make sense? Now, I have found by being married to my wife that she has a way of keeping pace with God, which shows up my own lack of pace. So she has this unique ability to catch opportunities. Does that make sense? To look at a thing that doesn't seem to be that important, and she'll just grab hold of the opportunity, and often it becomes something really big that can save us thousands of dollars, or opens up an opportunity that to witness that we never thought was possible. And I remember one time when I think I shared in church once before, we had bought a van, and the van was sort of, there was something wrong with the van, so we took it into Enterprise. We bought it secondhand, and there was lots of problems, and the establishment wasn't very cooperative. But there was this person who was driving this shuttle, and she was an executive in training. She was driving this shuttle, and so she was giving my wife Cindy and Kaylin, at the time we only had Kaylin, I think. Maybe we had Eliza. Eliza was a baby or something. Yeah. Eliza was a baby. Why? Because I know that. Because she went into the restroom and then fell into the toilet. And Kaylin says, "Eliza fell in the toilet." Okay. So we did have Eliza. Sorry, I digress. It's all the misadventures and adventures of family life. But there's this girl, this lady who was there. Her name was Cynthia, and it happened that after a very frustrating day there. She was going to take them home because the van had to be left, and so she was taking them home. And I remember that my wife was very tempted to feel very frustrated and to rag on the company, right? And so she's just a representative of the company, but she felt the Lord just arrest her, okay? And as Cynthia started talking, she was quite interested in the girls, the little girls. And Kaylin was very, very young at the time. Eliza was a baby, and a toddler, I think. And she shared with me, Cindy shared with me, at that time, I needed to be still so that what she was saying was being appreciated. I could appreciate what she was saying. Does that make sense? You know, when you are really upset or you are stressed out, sometimes when people say things, they're just like, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, yeah, right? and she had to arrest the pace of her mind, because her mind is just thinking about other things and how there's a missed opportunity and all that. And as Cynthia shared, my wife Cindy was saying, I had to sort of catch it, because she began to share about her being in a relationship with a guy, not sure whether this guy is good or not, and about other bad relationships that she had before, how she'd been on drugs and all that. And she's just talking. But as she was able to still herself before God and just stop that pace of whatever frenetic kind of upset is, she could hear what Cynthia was saying. She could hear the significance of what she was saying. That what she was saying was not just small talk, but there was something there. More importantly, she could hear what the Lord was saying. So you're in conversation with people, and there's all these things going on, and then the Lord is there. You have to be still enough in the midst of all that to really hear what God was saying. And the Lord spoke to her to invite her to come to church, to come to church, and to share with her about relationships, and told her about, what to look for in a guy, and that kind of talk. And then Kaylin, who had heard stories about how we got married and all that, started sharing. She was just like, I don't know how old she was, like four years old or something, and started sharing. And so they all got into it and somehow got into a groove. And that is part of what it is to get in pace with God. You feel a groove, right? Just like in music, you just feel the groove. And everything feels different. The rhythm seems groovy. and then the conversation began to be more weighty, more excited. Yeah? and then dropped them off, and that was it. Took numbers. And so I realized that Cindy had to be on the ball enough, yeah, in pace enough to be able to take that number, have presence of mind to be able to do that. That only happens when you are still before God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So you can be still without being doing nothing. You know how, I think John Williams was still telling me, I am able to hear God's voice when I'm jogging. Yeah, sometimes when you're jogging, then you're still. Have you experienced that? I'm not like that. When I'm jogging, I'm not still. But for some people, when they're jogging or they're running or they're swimming, they're able to be still. And so that happened. We, a few days later, you know, forgotten about it. And we were in San Diego for a brief holiday or vacation. And the next night, which was going to be a Saturday evening, the church was going to put up a play called The Rock. It was an Easter play. And it was at that time that Cindy felt, in the midst of all our vacation and all that, I've got to call Cynthia and invite her and her boyfriend, who she had never met, to this play. And she called her. And Cynthia said, yes, they're going to come. It was at that play where she and her boyfriend responded to God. And we had dinner with them, and we went on to 11 o'clock. And he was a person who had been a Christian before, but then left the Lord. He became a coach in Texas A&M University. Very successful. Kind of a success nut. Have you seen these people? Like, they work out, they shave their hair bald, they're just like aggressive, they can't stand weak people. But at that moment, God had been moving. And we realized that when Cindy called, God had been working in him as well to bring him closer to God and have a lot of questions. He came between, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We had enough conversation with them to answer his questions, and he accepted the Lord, or rather he came back to the Lord, and they started coming to church. Very soon after that, this guy fell to a very debilitating disease that was so painful he had to be admitted in hospital. We went to visit him, and he was so weak that he could not even carry a 2.5 pound weight. And then God dealt with him and all that. And then after that, God did a deep work in his life. He came back to church, joined us regularly for church until God moved them up to Utah. You know, so there's something about keeping pace with God that is a work that's done in us that makes us up for it, makes us leadable, or makes us able to catch an opportunity because you're still enough to be able to see a little particle pass by. Catch it. Does that make sense? How do you do that? It comes when we are present to God. Because when you're present to God, we enter into God's time. Does that make sense? So today we'd like to talk about that more. And from today onwards, and our subsequent sessions, we'd like to practice that more. Does that make sense? So up to now we've been talking about just various aspects of God's time, our time. Today what I'd like us to do is to be able to, in our groups, begin to practice being quiet before God, being silent before God, and being still before God. Because when God can actually still us, and last week we were talking about Sabbath, right? Sabbath is when God actually stills our pace, stops that pace, and brings us to a standstill, and does a work inside us. It is in that place that God begins to transform our clock and just work in us. Any questions up to now? I just want to stop here for a little bit before we move on. I wanted to open up for questions for anyone who has questions about previous sessions or what we've been talking about today. Anyone? Or any sharing, anything that's come up for you? Karen?
Yes, the other day I received a call someone who was in distress, and I said, I'll be over within the hour. And I prayed right away, and the Lord spoke to me and told me what was going to happen and what I was to do. And I thought, I got in my car and I left, and I thought, I need to call Michael and see if he'll pray.
Oh.
While I'm with this person. And I couldn't. I thought, he doesn't answer his phone. And I couldn't text. Anyway, I got there, and this person let me in, and she said, oh, I just got off the phone with Michael. I told him you were coming over. So I knew he knew I was going over there.
Yeah.
And he knows the person, so I'm sure he was praying.
Yeah, I was.
You were.
Because I knew it was, so I know who that person she's talking about is. So
and
I know she needs prayer.
So I was, and anyway, God told me what to do, and I was there for quite a while and talking to this person and crying, and the Lord just kept telling me to ask her if she was ready to receive Jesus Christ, and so I did, and I said, do you want your life to change? She said, I want my life to change. Yes, I want my life to change. And she said, yes, I'm ready. And I said, are you sure? She said, yes, I'm sure. Then the next day she started backpedaling, but that's okay, I did what God was going to do. But so, in that moment, I just needed to know that Michael was praying, but I didn't have that until I got there, and I knew that he was praying. So I just felt like I was connected in some time with God, because I was working with
Jesus. For some reason, you went there at exactly the right time, actually.
Yeah.
Because this person was so desperate. Mm-hmm. It was, I didn't know how she's going to get over that one. But then you went, and I spoke to her after that session, and she was completely at peace. Just so, it's like that's a different spirit. So that's what do you
is
think?
That moving in time?
Yes. What do you think you when from that sharing? What do you think is applicable? That's usable. You know, in terms of us, that's a transferable principle for us. Like learning, what can we learn out of that? What did you do that was different? You know,
well, for me,
distinct.
I did doubt that I was here. It wasn't a voice that came out of nowhere. I just knew this was what he wanted to do, because immediately when she said, "I'll be there with you the hour," that's what came into my spirit. That's
yeah.
Ask her if she needs Christ.
Yeah.
Praise God. But I guess I have a tendency to doubt, and that sort of thing that would be applicable for me moving forward to God, with trusting what I'm hearing. It's not. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. You'll be.
Amen. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. So yeah, actually, so obedience is important, right? When you are not the, let's see, how to put it, when our own self-will is not the decider, but obedience to God is the decider, it frees us up. Then we're mobile. Right? When things have to fit within a certain comfort structure of us, then what happens is that we are not freed up to be able to move with God.
Well, I also recognize that my personality would tend to be a little critical. And so that's what God's doing with me, putting that aside and looking at what it is He wants to do, making myself available. And I think someone said, I walked down the road
Yeah, that's good. And so what I'd like to talk about is this. How can we be synced up so much so that things like that don't become too hard for us? Have you found that? And sometimes there's an inertia in us. You just can't pull yourself up to do this thing. Have you found that, you know, when you hear things that people are doing, it's like, wow, they're grabbing this opportunity and that. Does it make you feel tired? You know, you feel like, there's more work to do and all that. How do I just pull myself up with the bootstraps? I can imagine when I was younger, I could do that kind of thing. And then when I got older, I just feel, you want to make an appointment? Let's go for next month or whatever. You know what I mean? And so there's a way in which there's an inertia that's there. And what we want to do is to be in sync with Him so much so that we are up for it. Yeah. But to be up for it, there's a work that the Holy Spirit has to do in us, or else it's just too taxing, or on the other hand, it could be something that's too we are wanting to be chomping at the bit, but we are more, you know, on the other side we are impatient, we want to move, and God is saying not yet. So let's have a look at Psalm 46. And then read it from verse 1. Psalm 46, and read it from verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. See? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So when God says He is present to us, that means all of His godness, okay, is focused on us in this moment. Yeah? He's present. So God is present to me, what he's saying is his attention is fully given to me. Only God can do that. Human beings cannot be fully present to each other. No matter how hard we concentrate, we don't have the ability to be 100% present. No matter how much I try, no matter how much concentration I give, I can only be there like 70%. Humans don't have the mental capacity to be completely present. Only God can be present to us. So to be in the presence of God is to be attentive to God in such a way that we can behold Him in the present moment. Yeah? When my mind is praying, a lot of times my mind gets distracted to the future, right? I'm thinking of what good is this going to do? What is the future of this relationship or this particular action? What will this prayer do? Does that make sense? Most of the time our minds are just launching out into the future. When you launch out into the future, you're not in the present, and you're not present, you cannot be fully present to God. To be fully present is to bring our heart before Him in this moment, no other moment. Because this is the only moment there is. Mm-hmm. The amazing thing about the presence is that the presence lasts for a split second. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's the past. Mm-hmm. Really. And so, we as human beings, find it very difficult to stay in the present because our minds are always thinking, okay, this moment, we're always connecting this moment with the next hypothetical future, right? I do not want to invest in this because it may not turn out well, and so I'm not fully there. Does that make sense? I'm not sure whether I'm wasting my time with this person or not. I'm not sure whether I'm wasting my time doing this piece of work or not. Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'm wasting my time studying this topic because it may not come out in the exam. You know, that kind of thing. And so because of that, we are not fully invested. So we're not whole-souled in the things that we do. What God is that He's whole-souled in His relationship with us. He completely engages with us in that way. Yeah. So when we say we are in the presence of God, it doesn't mean that God is not here and then suddenly He's here. You know, sometimes those of us who come from a charismatic or Pentecostal tradition, we can think, oh, the presence of God came. You mean God wasn't here before? No, God is infinite. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's always at every moment, whether we are present to Him or not, present to us. That blows my mind. If I were you, I would stand on my chair and just give praise to God forevermore. Yeah? But that's God. God is present to me in every moment when I'm not present to Him. When I'm sleeping and I'm not even thinking about Him, He's waiting for me to wake up. Yeah, He's watching over me. That's God. So when we say in the presence of God, we're not talking about God not being present or then suddenly being present. We're talking about the fact that at that moment, somehow all of me was able to be in the presence with God and be able to touch His presentness to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for some, at that moment, I was as present to God in some small way as He was present to me. Does that make sense? So the presence of God is something that has to do with the present moment. And that's why we were doing this at the beginning of our session today, was to just try to be present to God.
Mm-hmm.
And to give all our praise to Him, not worrying about whether this praise, giving over to Him, would do anything in the future, but just do it for its own sake. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of difference. Yeah? Okay. The Lord is a very present help in trouble. He's very present. We don't have to persuade Him to be more present. He is very present. The problem is that we are not present to Him. So much so that even though He is there in all His godness, we are not there to be able to be in sync with Him, to be able to work with Him. Does that make sense? And so, but verse 46, Psalm 46, verse 1, it's telling us He's a refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore we do not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. What he's saying is that in verse 1 to verse 3, whatever the circumstances are, God is infinitely present to me, whether I feel like it or not. Yeah? That's important. That is objectively true, whether I am feeling it or not. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, He raised His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. In verse 4 to verse 7, I'd like us to just take note of the movements that are going on everywhere. Yeah, everything is moving, everything is shaking, everything is in tumult, everything is unstable. Yeah, everything is unstable. God is the nations are in an uproar. Verse 6, the kingdoms are tottering. He's raising when He raises His voice, the earth is melting. Not even the earth is staying stable, but there is one stable thing, one thing that doesn't move, and that is God. It's almost as if God is a still point, and in Him there is a real stillness, and everything else moves. Yeah, everything is moving. If you invest your future in everything else, it will move. Yeah, nothing is stable. People's love is unstable. People's acceptance, people's safety, is changeable, just by nature of itself. But in the midst of that, there is a still place. Yeah, the holy dwelling places of the Most High in verse 4. There is a river which is dynamic, and yet it just keeps on staying there. And that's a really good picture. The river of the of God is it just stays there, but it's still moving. And so that's the way God is. He's like that river where He's stable. He doesn't move, but the river is moving. So moving with God keeps us in that stable place. If you stay stationary with God, you are moving relative to the river. Does that make sense? You're either left behind or not in sync with God. Yeah? God is the dwelling place. The dwelling place of God is the stable place. It is the place of stillness. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. He has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in fire. I found verse 9 very, very true in my life. When all the conflicts that are going on are very threatening, the Lord's promise is this: in that still place, He is able to break the bows of, and the arrows of conflict, of blow-ups and things like that. Verse 10, cease striving, or a more famous translation is, be still and know that I am God. May I suggest to you that knowing only comes from being still. Yeah, the knowing that comes, and we're not talking about intellectual knowledge, but it's a knowing that comes when the one who's being known makes an impact upon us, that knowing. Yeah, be still and know. That means allow the truth of that one who you are knowing, that is of God, to be able to make an impact upon you and make an imprint upon you. Not just cognitive. Cognitive is important, but that's not it. The knowing that we're talking about is a knowing that impacts the heart, impacts our life, our being. Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And you notice that this being still is very powerful. It exalts God. And so, what I notice is this, that in our lives, we can easily be shaken by the things that are shaking around us. So we take our cues from what's shaking, right? Somebody shouts at you, shout back at them, you know? You know, somebody is running, you are running. You know, somebody is panicky and you're panicky. Somebody is unhappy with you, you get unhappy with them, or you get intimidated by them. What God is saying is this, look, in this still place is not stationary. In this still place, I'm rising. Does that make sense? Just as if the plane is moving fast, for me to be keeping pace with the plane, and for the plane to look like it's stationary, I have to keep pace with it. Does that make sense? So with God is this. I want to know how I can keep pace with God. How can I be moving in groove with Him? Yeah. And Psalm 48 says that there is a stillness that brings us into it. Stillness that brings us into it. How do I be still? Yes. How do I be still so that I can hear from Him, so that God can actually, my vision of God can be clear? How can I be still? Yeah. So I want to ask you, how do you still yourself? How do you get still? Anybody want to share? Share your insights. Sir?
Yeah, it's really hard to be still with a 3-year-old that's bouncing off the wall. You know, but one day I've done it recently, and checked, okay, we need to move from this place to this place. And I know I don't want to have to repeat myself, I don't have to drag her, but, you know, it's like, okay, God, can you help me with this? You know, I did that today, and I'm like, okay, Ellie, we need to go, we need to put away the Play-Doh, we do this, do that, and she did it all.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, she understands, you know, mm-hmm. She understands. So it was like, wow, thank you, God, I should just pray a little, you know, short prayer, you know, and it might work more often. Because there's still the will of a 3-year-old, so, you know, but it was, I felt that was really like a little gift.
Yeah.
So
the key for you was to just pray. Yeah. Bring it up to God. Rather than you imposing your will upon her. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And mm-hmm. just saying, okay, you know what? I can't control her, actually.
Ah.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of you controlling her. It's not you against her.
Right, and I think that's what, you know, it's like, I want her to do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, just giving up, in a sense, you know, like, okay, God, you know, we need to actually go. So.
That's great. I find that with my children, too. Mm-hmm. My way of getting them to comply is to raise my voice. But the thing is that they also raise their voice. And I raise my voice and says, oh, and I thought, who can raise their voice more? And then I realize this is like, absolutely, if it's a test of wills, so it's between you and me and all that, I must not lose. Because if I as a father lose, that stresses me out more than it stresses you out. Because you don't need to win, but I need to win because I'm a father. So all that stuff gets onto me and it messes up my pace in life, right? Because it's a fight between them and me. See, I find it just never works. Because if I can coerce them, I'm moving at my own pace, and they are moving at my pace, and God is not even in the picture. But what you said is really good, because what it's saying is, and I learned this too. See, I had to be forced to that, to realize that I cannot. It's against the rules to coerce them. By dint of my own will, that is, it's just against the rules. You don't do that. That's cheating. Does that make sense? So I had to find a way in which I allow myself to know that I have no real control over them. I can, but it would be more abusive than anything else. Yeah? So I have to really be able to maintain a certain way in which I have to give up control to the Lord. And the Lord, you have to do it. And if they don't, I can't make them. But the Lord can. He only, when I'm still, He'll be exalted, right? Yeah? And He'll be exalted. So I found that really works. So my kids realize that, oh, so what you do is that you just lower your voice. That's what you do, huh? So my kids get back and say, you lower our voice too. Yes, no, Daddy. No. Lord, yes. But what Sarah says is true. It has to be done unto God, right? It has to be unto God. If it's not unto God, then I mean nothing works. Anything that's not done in this triangle from unto God and then to the person, if it's done directly, it does not work. It's just me putting my will against them, and it's out of place. Good, thanks for sharing that. Anyone else? How do I be still to such an extent that when God comes, I am able to discern His presence, His characteristics?
It's practice.
Practice, okay.
Well, the reason I keep trying to figure out, like, what is it? Like, how does it work, right? But it is practice. It's desiring it, right? Wanting it. And then when you want it, to not let go.
Yeah.
To pursue it.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
So, not giving up when, like you say, if the mind wanders or whatever. And then it's easy because I'm old now, so I don't, that's why I'm trying to push my brain back, like, how? What? You know, because I feel God's presence as much as I
yeah. Yeah.
But trying to figure out how did that happen?
Yes.
And
yes.
I think it starts with inside.
Amen. By the way, this is Michelle. I'm Michelle Wong. Michelle was a staff worker of Jen. When Jen was a student. Yes. So she's like Jen's spiritual mother. It's good to have her. She's here for studying a class at Fuller. And then I'll be going up with some others to their church in Lighthouse in May for a church retreat. So we're glad to have you for, is it a month? It could be around?
No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Ah, too short. Yeah, okay. So desire is a really important thing. Desire. Good.
Right here.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
You asked me a question earlier about, and I'm going to get to this. We're talking about home life.
Okay.
About, was there any lesson from the home life? There was a lesson, you know, the Lord was speaking to me while I was sitting here because I had forgotten this. Because right after that happened the next day, something else happened. And so God was on the roll, and there were other things that came out of all this. And so what I saw in that first moment, that first time that I responded to see this person, and the next person, there was a characteristic, a flaw, or something that was constant, that was at play in the first time, the second time, and the third time that came to my mind. And I believe that is then when the healing occurs. We have to recognize what it is that pulls us away from the moment that God wants to spend with us.
Right, that recurring issue that.
Yes.
That.
Yes, and so I recognize that, and so again, that's where the healing comes in. You recognize it, you have to own it, and you have to be willing to allow God to change that. So He did by bringing these other situations up. That just amazing. And so here now, you're talking about how you stay in that. You stay in that moment, and staying in the moment is not, you know, because He's moving. and we're moving and life is moving, but how do we stay in that moment with him as he's moving? How do we talk with him? I'm just getting this now. What was Michael talking about? But anyway, so a lot of this I'm just verbalizing now, so you might bear with me. I saw myself, when another situation came up, another opportunity came up, one of those pebbles, recognizing the same situation, the same characteristic at play, or could have been at play, and I recognized it, I owned it, and I went the other direction.
Mm.
In other words, I didn't play into that, I didn't get
mm-hmm.
into that.
Yeah.
Went the direction that I knew God wanted me to go.
Right. So sometimes it can be an insecurity or a fear or some inordinate desire to do for something to happen, and that actually affects our pace. Yeah, mm-hmm. affects our peace. The ancient monastics in the Eastern Orthodox tradition has this picture. It says, when you look at the sea, and when it's still, when the sea is still in the distance of the horizon, you can see the dolphins jumping up and down, you know. When it's not still, you can't see it, right? But when the sea is still, then you can see the dolphins, you can see the details. And so a lot of times, in order for us to be moving in pace with God, it's not for us to catch up with God or to slow down for God. It is actually to stop. And so I've entitled today's thing, Stopping Before Hearing. Because a lot of times we want to hear from God, but we haven't stopped yet.
Yeah.
Have you tried that? And you can get really wound up trying to hear from God, isn't it? Because when you're going at a pace in which the insecurity is there, you're just wanting to get that word from God, or just want to hear something from God, what can happen is that can be all a function of that freneticness that we have anyway. And so the Lord wants to relate to us, not just in terms of just telling us things. He wants to love us.
Yes.
He wants to embrace us. He wants us to develop feel. Because when a mother communicates with a child, so much more the communication is the feel of her love, right? Or the feel of her security, a feel of her hand of clarity and discipline. That feel of it is intuition, is intuitive. 90% of communication is intuitive rather than verbal. But we are living in such a modern age in which everything is cognitive and verbal, so we are wanting to get a word from God. It is possible for us to get a word, but have our own spiritual instincts, our own heart, our own sense of it to be completely off. You can get the right word, but interpret it completely wrongly. Does that make sense? And so what's important is this, stopping precedes hearing. So it says, be still and know. Right? Does that make sense? We are people who want to know first before we are still. And when that happens, I've seen many people who are prophets, who are sensitive to the words of God, they just have that gift, you know. But they get it all wrong. Their whole life is a mess because of the fact that they are getting words, but their interpretation or their indwelling that word is wrong. It's off. It's there's something off about it. Does that make sense? And I used to be part of a movement in which people were just very into like prophecies and words of knowledge and visions and all that, and they got those things because somehow if you pray a lot, these things will happen. But there was something off about it because many of them would fall into sin, or they would just be unstable, or they would interpret it, they get the right word, but somehow the interpretation is wrong. And so there's a way in which in Psalm 46 is actually very helpful because it says, be still, and then knowing comes. So, using the same analogy of a mother, you know, in 1 Peter it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, right? Mm-hmm. So the feel of a mother's breast, of the mother's warmth and all that, is a very, very constitutive part, a very important part of listening to God or hearing from God. Because what God is wanting us to do is not just listen or hear, He's wanting us to receive. They receive the fullness of Godness rather than just words. Does that make sense? We are people who separate words from God's being. And as a result of that, we can actually be prophetic, but actually not feel the love of God at all. Mm-hmm. I know a minister in my former church, very, very powerful, very strong. She was a church planter and all that. And at some point, her even though she could hear words from God, see visions and all that, the love of God in her just was not strong in her. And after she had gone through a lot of difficulty, a lot of opposition, suffering and all that, at some point she just blew up. And we had to minister to her. And when that happened, she couldn't trust any word that she was hearing, because to her it was all about hearing. She could focus her mind so much so that she could hear really sharply, but the feel of it, the love of it, the spirit of it was not there. In fact, and then because we were a young movement, a lot of people were very enamored about the fact that they could move in the gifts of the Spirit, and they would just call out, words of knowledge just like that. It was like a game, and they were like spiritually precocious, extremely precocious. But every time we went into worship, to them it was like, got a chance to play. It's almost like playing spiritual gifts. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Most of them backslided. Mm-hmm. And only slowly later on did they come back to the Lord. So I know about that kind of thing, but stopping is more important. The stopping has to do with the fact that God stops us and He puts what is important to Him upon us first, and He can sometimes discipline us into that. And what happens is that this Sabbathing or this stopping can sometimes happen when we just get disappointed, when our prayers don't get answered, things don't work out well, things fall apart in our lives, and we are brought to a place that every part in us that wants to use God to get our good just sort of comes to an end, and God becomes the only one in our life. So that coming to a stillness can sometimes happen to us when the very desires that we have nurtured in our life come to an end of themselves. Yeah, come to an end of ourselves. And I recently was talking to one of my daughters, who, this last weekend she had a major breakthrough in her her swimming, and God came through for her in such a way that it was I'll have a chance to share that later, but a few months before that, I was putting her to bed and praying with her, and she said, "Daddy, I just don't feel there's anything I want to live for. I don't feel there's anything worth living for. I think of this and this and this and this. I don't even have any desire for anything." And I was really concerned for her. And I could only come to a place where I could pray with her, and I would say, "Lord," I said, "the only one worth living for is God. If you live for yourself, even if you get everything that you want, it's just not going to cut it, And she had come to a place where everything was falling apart for her. And she had come to a place where if she tried to retrieve it, it just would only give her more frustration and more disappointment. She had come to a place where she realized, it is better for me not to try to retrieve those things, because those things will end up in frustration. And so what do I live for? She had come to a place where there was nothing to live for, nothing to hope for. She couldn't hope for anything. And she just felt, I'm so depressed. She was in a very desperate position, as far as I was concerned. And we prayed, and she said, "Lisa, you give your life to God. You just live for Him." And she just wept. And she gave her life to God. She just gave her life to God. "God, I don't know what it is that you have for me. I just give my life to you. You come into my heart. I got nothing else worth living for. And I don't even feel motivated for what you have. But you have to do that." Mm-hmm. That night, it was 11 o'clock, she gave her life to God and realized there is nothing worth living for. I mean, it's like to know that there is nothing in this world for her. It's, at 15 years old, I never went through that. And then she was changed. After that, things changed. She had come to a point of zero, of stillness.
Hallelujah.
You know? And after that, everything was different. Everything was different. This past weekend, she was in a meet that she didn't even qualify for. But they let her go in for the relays. For the relays, she went so fast that all those years that she had lost were made up in one or two races.
Wow.
Suddenly, everything changed. But her heart had changed before that took place.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
She ended up being at a stage that's ahead of where Kaylin, her sister, was, and she was 1 year ahead of her, 1 year older than her. I don't know how God does that. There is a secret movement, that secret space that God has, that when that transaction happens in stillness, God takes us into His space, and somehow you find yourself like, oh, I'm ahead of the game. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But what was important for me was that she didn't come to that place after the miracle took place. She came to a place of stillness, and then the miracle came out of that. Does that make sense? So that's an important part of being still before the Lord. I cannot keep pace with God. I cannot actually still myself. No matter how much I try to focus my mind and to still myself, or just the moment I do this, everything inside me jumps up and down, right? It's just like the pendulum, you know, when it comes to zero, actually on a microscopic level, atomic level, it is actually going up and down, it's jiggling up and down. There's no such thing. Except when the Lord brings us into pace with Him, and the only way in which we can do that is to give Him everything, and we have nothing to live for, actually, then He begins to put stillness in us. My point is this: stillness comes as something the Holy Spirit administers to me. I can only bring myself to the altar and say, Lord, as far as I know, it's all for You. I cannot even do it perfectly. And I have to wait there until God brings the altar to me. I can bring myself to the altar, but the Lord has to bring the altar to me so that stillness can actually come. Does that make sense? Only in that way that our hearing from God begins to be more reliable. It was in this place that God actually begins to speak to us, and we hear it in the spirit that God has for us. And so after that, she began to do her devotion, because before her devotions was not just spotty. It's like, I can't stand this. Actually, she had come to a place where just talking about God just made her feel very sad. Just don't want to talk about God. I don't even want to do it. But because we force her to do her devotions, this is where parents can do something. 20 minutes every day she would go there. And my theory was this: if you just do that, someday God will come through. And He did. She told me, Daddy, I'm so glad you forced me to do the devotions. Because at some point, something began to rise up. You see, and that is an important part of it. When we come before the Lord, at that moment you may not feel anything, but you just stay consistent. You just keep coming, you just keep turning up, and trusting that at some point the Lord will still your heart, still my heart. And then He will be able to do it. I realize that the devotions is not an issue of me acting upon God to try to make, to elicit a word from Him. It is availing myself to God for Him to still me so that I be in a place to be able to hear from God. And that is the meaning of the word adequatio. Adequatio is the word that the ancient monastics used to describe the process of the Spirit that works in us unconsciously, subconsciously, in our spirit, not known to us, not felt by us, in our emotions or in our minds, but on a deeper level of the spirit, that causes the knower to be fitted into the thing known. Or for the knower, me who wants to know God, to be able to fit it into God's frame. Or else I don't have the material to be able to understand God. I don't have the material to hear His voice. Does that make sense? Adequatio is how when we come before the Lord, it's presumptuous of us to think that we can even understand the thoughts of God, right? You think I can hear from God? What? Me? Hear from God? How can I hear the infinitely wise thoughts of God with my own pea brain? Mm-hmm. But when I come before Him, He brings the stillness. He brings the formation. He does the work. Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 8, works, helps our infirmities, works on the inside of us in a way that is deeper than we can experience or sense. All we can do is just turn up by faith. In faith, just turn up. Just like you keep putting the seed there, you can't examine the process of the seed germinating. All you can do is just put it, and in secret, the seed in the ground, in a secret way, germinates. How that happens is not for us to really know. I guess you can know it scientifically, but for us, it's just a matter of, I just put the seed there. I just, in faith, obey. And as I obey, something's going to happen. Does that make sense? Stillness actually comes. And so, what happens is this. In this situation, God actually puts the wherewithal to be able to know the thing that He wants to do. So sometimes, you may spend time with God, and you're waiting for a word, and for days and weeks, nothing really comes. Nothing really strikes you. But you just turn up. Every day you just come, you just worship God, you just praise God. You stop before you hear. Does that make sense? Stopping is very important. Coming before the Lord, like I said. Where you come to the altar and you wait there until the altar comes to you. What do I mean? It means that as you wait there, God puts the surrender in you. Puts the surrender in you. Puts the surrender in there. We don't surrender 100% by ourselves. We have to come there and let the Lord put the surrendering spirit in us. That's really good for me to know, because there are times in which I just can't surrender. Have you found that? When I was, I know so many times which I found it so hard to surrender. I would come before Him, I said, Lord, You make me surrender. You put the thing in. So we wait until that happens. And when that happens, we just find ourselves having experienced the adequatio, where we are somehow fitted into the thing that God has for us. And suddenly, everything comes together. Mm-hmm. I found sometimes the best, most profound revelations that God can give to me are things that happen after a long period of dryness. I just turn up, and I just don't seem to have nothing seems to strike. And then suddenly, one day, it all comes together. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, have you found that? Alright, be still and know that I'm God. For some reason, I think this set of notes are, I don't know why there are parts in it that's missing. If you read Romans chapter 8, and I'm not going to have a chance to actually do that with you tonight because it's time for us to go to our groups to pray. Romans chapter 8, the reference actually is verse 26 to verse 28. Yeah, you can just put that there. And I'll just read it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let us pray. Lord, we welcome You to take us into Your presence and to bring us into that stillness that You speak about. Thank You, Lord. That whatever pace that our life has been in, however broken our clock has been, You are the God who's able to heal us. And that the infinite grace of You, Lord, is far overshadows and outshines our own broken places, Lord. And so we thank You, Lord. We dare to believe that. And so we commit ourselves to You, to Your working in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, we'll break up into our groups, and I'm inviting the groups to just spend some time, maybe not so much discussing, but just being still before the Lord, and just listening to Him, and worship God, and just share what you received as you've been praying. And your group leaders will lead you as they feel led by God. Yeah? Okay. Have a good time.